Welcome to Shattering This, a program devoted to the most important and now largest segment of society. To those who have come to realize that the world's political, religious, military, academic, and media institutions are corrupt, that they are actually counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. They're not worth our time, nor our loyalty. Our phone number, if you would like to participate in this discussion anytime over the next 3 hours, is 877-300-7645. Yesterday we began our program. In fact, the entire first 2 hours was unique to this program in that we only covered one item in the news, and it was a fairly minor story at the time of this program yesterday, and that was Ray Rice giving his then-fiancée, now wife, a couple of left jabs in the face, knocking her out and then dragging her out of an elevator. As the show was concluding in its last few minutes, the Baltimore Ravens announced that they were separating ways with Ray Rice. They were canceling their contract with him, and the NFL announced that they were suspending him indefinitely. There was lots of comments. It became the number one story in the news. So, Scott, what do you think? Now that you've had a 24-hour period to digest what has occurred, what are your impressions?
I'm still kind of upset about it. Ray Rice was wrong. I knew 5 months ago when I read the statement of Ray Rice punches girlfriend, drags her out of elevator. You knew he was wrong at that point in time. I didn't have to see this video to know he was wrong, and he was totally wrong. It happened in Atlantic City. The NFL has gone on this thing, oh, we never saw that. If it happens in a casino, there is video of it.
There's a video camera everywhere.
In a casino.
Exactly. Everywhere. Because they are absolutely paranoid of people trying to scam them. And so they videotape everything. And so there isn't anybody who is a knowledgeable investigator. And the NFL is a $9 billion business, and they have investigators at their beck and call who would have been blindsided by the notion that there was not a video in that elevator that where the entire scene could have been revealed and understood from the get-go.
So with that being the case, I feel like rather than Goodell just being, oh, we give it a two-game suspension, why won't they just say, you know what, you're indefinitely suspended until I see all the information. I need to see the tapes because, you know, Rice's lawyer and them got tapes. We need to see the tapes. I need all the information, and then I'll tell you what your suspension is going to be. So now, because the NFL didn't do their due diligence, they didn't try and follow through, and they just made a 2-game suspension. Which even when that came out, people said that was a dumb call. Because you knew it wasn't all Ray Rice hits his girlfriend. It was Ray Rice knocks his girlfriend out and drags her out of an elevator. That was the headlines. And for now, ESPN and all these other people to come out and act like they're all, you know, all so morally, this is immoral and I'm outraged by this.
Let's say that you hadn't seen the video. You're the NFL, and you're lame, and you turned a blind eye to this because you just wanted to go away, and you didn't see the video. How would you think that Ray Rice knocked out his girlfriend in the elevator? Do you think that he suffocated her? Would that have been better? Do you think that he banged her head against the wall? Would that have been better? Do you think he headbutted her? Would that have been? Is there any scenario?
There's no scenario.
That would be different than what you saw in the film?
There's no scenario that would make it any better.
So what's the only difference between the NFL giving him a 2-game suspension prior to the release of the video and now suspending him indefinitely after the release of the video?
Because they saw the video and they didn't take it seriously before, and now people are being very they're upset.
Now, the NFL, nothing's changed with the NFL. The NFL has no information that's any different than the information they had previously. The only thing that's changed is the public went from being outspoken and saying the punishment does not fit the crime, that you give a 16-game suspension for smoking weed and you give a 2-game suspension for domestic violence. The punishment does not fit the crime. You're not being moral. To now seeing the video, the outrage in the nation was so immediate and so great after having seen the video that the NFL could not make any other, had no choice but to completely separate from this man. And it may even cost the commissioner his job. All they were doing is reacting to public rage. Nothing changed. They knew exactly what Ray Rice had done. So they're simply reacting to mass collective rage by their fan base.
Yeah, but it doesn't change anything for me. I knew what Ray Rice did without ever seeing that video. The headline told you exactly what he did. He knocked his wife out.
Thank you. And there are some people like you who put the pieces together and said, okay, he's dragging his wife out of the elevator. There is no set of circumstances of what could have occurred in that elevator that would have caused this to have occurred in a manner where Ray Rice should remain a free man, unpunished by the justice system, unpunished by his employer. So you came to that conclusion immediately, and we're disappointed that Ray Rice was allowed to continue his NFL career. Is that correct?
I'm not upset at the NFL if they let him play. I'm more upset at the people that are supposed to uphold the law.
You're upset with the police.
I'm upset with the police and the justice system, who they saw that video. They saw that video because the casino said that they gave them that video.
Yes,
they
did.
So they saw that video and they said to themselves, well, we can't convict this guy.
They gave him a pass, although they're denying it, because to go against a star player of the NFL football team in that jurisdiction would have been a unpopular move. It's like the police and College Station giving a pass to Sandusky as he was molesting little boys. It happens regularly. It's how in the SEC country a crime is committed by a football player and they look the other way. It's what happened with the Florida State and Winston. He doesn't assault one woman but two, and it's proven that he is the perpetrator of the assault through DNA, and they don't prosecute. So it is sports stardom that is causing the justice system to distribute very poor collective decisions.
I'm more sickened by that than I am the NFL. I don't look to the NFL to uphold any laws for me, or to the NFL has very little bearing on my life. If I want to turn off the NFL, I can turn it off.
But America, that's a different story. See, America is only marginally interested in pursuing the Atlantic City. I think this was an Atlantic City casino.
Yep,
they're only marginally concerned with pursuing the justice officials in Atlantic City. Just marginally. Their focus and rage has all been at Goodell and the NFL and the Baltimore Ravens for tolerating this among them. In America, this became the top story because Ray Rice is a star player of the Baltimore Ravens. And the NFL is the biggest, second only to gambling, actually, the biggest fan attraction, entertainment value, entertainment option in the country. And seeing the video changed everything for America. Seeing the video changed everything for America. I'm going to share with you my my response to this after I first just tell you a little bit about domestic violence in America. And I'm going to read the victim's statement. She is a lost soul. First, one in every four American women claims to have sometime during their life been the victim of domestic violence, having been perpetrated by someone that they are close to, most often their husband or boyfriend. One in four. There are 1.3 million domestic violence cases in America every year. Boys who witness domestic violence in their home are twice as likely to victimize their wives and girlfriends and daughters as adults. Twice as likely. 50% of domestic violence perpetrators, guys like Ray Rice that smacked his then fiance, 50% of domestic violence perpetrators against the women in their lives also abuse their children. This is a really huge problem. So what we witnessed is a crime of gargantuan proportions in this country. Most police departments will tell you that the single most common call, 911 call, the most common dispatch is for domestic violence. And is a minority of domestic violence cases that are actually prosecuted because of the sticky wicket of pressing charges and the woman typically being afraid of the man, even sometimes and often being married to the man, and what it means for the children and for the home and for future victimization and all of this sort of thing, and even the Stockholm syndrome. A minority of cases are prosecuted, but it's the single most common call into police stations across this country. Now, when we return to Shattering This, I'm going to share the victim's personal account that was released this morning. And then I'm going to tell you the real issue and why this story bothers me so much. We'll be back in a moment. When we consider the incident in the elevator, there is no rational person prior to seeing the video in the elevator, but who had seen Ray Rice in the previously released video drag his fiance out of the elevator, literally just drag her out, would have known that something really bad happened within that elevator. And he acknowledged that he knocked her out. So there's no question that it wasn't that she had a fainting spell. He acknowledged that he knocked her out. He hit her. Admitted he did. And there's no way that he could have hit her and knocked her out that wasn't as bad, if not worse, than we saw in the video. So if you're informed, thinking, rational, logical person, seeing that video ought to have been as it was for Scott. Nothing changed. I watched the video and said, okay. So, seen 1,000 times worse. Didn't change anything for me. But it changed something profoundly for the vast preponderance of Americans. Football is the dominant sport now in America. By far the largest and most engaged fan base in the NFL is the form of football that is the most beloved in America. And so for the vast majority of Americans, something profoundly changed yesterday. Because they witnessed one-on-one cruelty. This brings me to want to share the victim's response today, and then I want to make the point that I think is the most important here. She said, "I woke up this morning feeling like I had a horrible nightmare. feeling like I'm mourning the death of my closest friend. Her name is Janae. Janae Rice wrote in the Post, "But to have to accept the fact that it's reality is a nightmare in itself. No one know the pain." I think she meant to say knows the pain. "No one know the pain that the media and unwanted opinions from the public has caused my family." Oh, that's a sign of psychosis. She has a disconnect from reality. What she's saying here is that the media airing the video and the comments by people, not only in the media, but in the general public, about the unacceptable nature of cold-cocking your fiancé, that is what caused the pain, not the act of her husband. And she goes on to say, "To make us relive a moment in our lives that we regret every day is a horrible thing." Tell you what's a horrible thing, Janae, is marrying a man that struck you with two punches in the face, knocking you out and dragging you from an elevator. If you do not have better sense than that, if you can't exercise better judgment than that, then you are victimizing yourself. You know, this is not a country where you are owned by your man, by your husband. That does not exist in this country. You have rights. You made a horrible decision to continue with him, and to delude yourself to think that you love him and that he loves you under these circumstances, that he would be a good husband and good father, says that you're just incapable of thinking. Now, who knows what it was about him? Maybe his stardom, maybe his money, that caused you to overlook the obvious, the two left fists in your face. But you chose this. You chose it. Live with it and don't bellyache to others. "To take something away from the man that I love." You are a sick woman when you love a man that abuses you. "To take something away from the man that I love, that he has worked his arse," although she said it as ASS off, "for all of his life just to gain ratings is horrific." They didn't take his career away just to gain ratings. We'll return to the statement after Shattering Myths continues after the commercial break. She wrote, this is Janae Rice, the victim of the abuse, who, from my perspective, is now aiding and abetting victimizers by her response. "To take something away from this man that I love, that he has worked his arse off for all of his life just to gain ratings is horrific." The NFL didn't do this to gain ratings. They did it because they had to. And the reason they had to was because of the public outrage. The vast majority of Americans are football fans. When they saw the video, they were outraged. They forced one of the largest, most successful, and popular institutions in America to do something that the institution did not want to do, because they were unified in their outrage. This is the point I want folks to take away, because it's halfway home to where we need to go as a society. She went on to say, "This is our life," all in caps, screaming. No. When someone abuses someone, It's no longer just your life. It ought not be your life, not if you're a moral person. What you don't all get, what don't you all get? It's she made it as a statement. There's no question mark here. You know, what about that? Maybe she was trying to say, don't you all get? But it's no question mark. We do have, by the way, our resident linguist and grammarian on the line, and it's a good thing that he's not reading this. If your intentions were to hurt us, embarrass us, make us feel alone, take all happiness away, you've succeeded on so many levels. You know, when someone violently attacks someone, and those who watch the violent attack say, this is not acceptable. I'm not going to be part of something. I'm not going to support something that supports those who do this. And you, as the victim, want to blame those who say, no, I'm outraged by this. And that's basically what she's saying. She's outraged that we're outraged. What of this does she not get? Just know you've succeeded on so many levels. Just know we will continue to grow and show the world what real love is. Ravens Nation, we love you. What real love is. First, she then explains that real love is fandom. Ravens Nation, fandom is her view of real love. Real love is when someone that you love hits you twice in the face. Hello, Glenn. What are your thoughts on America's reaction? Because the one issue in the elevator is pretty meaningless. What's important is the reaction of America to it, and what America, well, I think, is missing.
Well, they're certainly getting something. It's a high profile case of something that's endemic. You know, and, you know, and actually, when considered the abuse of women worldwide, it's comparatively mild. I don't like to even say that in America relative to abuses of females worldwide.
Ah, that's correct.
But we're obviously into the realm of codependence, facilitation, blame, shifting, denial, right. All these things.
Yeah. All those psychiatric terms that are used by victims of abuse to try to disassociate from the abuser, or at least the abuse being perpetrated by the abuser. And so they're all blame shifting.
Right. And she's obviously, he's got a rage problem. She's codependent through his rage problem.
Right.
She's facilitating him by not. Look, what she could have done at the time of that incident, she was his fiance. There was a perfect point at which to say, put the brakes on here. We stay engaged. We push back the wedding date, and we get counseling now to see if it can work.
Right.
You know.
You don't even go that far. I'm going to tell you that
the wedding's off.
you know, if she were my daughter and she were hit by her fiancé, I can tell you that while it is a free country, I would have done everything in my power to dissuade her from that stupid choice.
Right. So at very worst, like say, and you get into all the blurry emotional distinctions between romance and love and volitional commitment and codependence and all that, and it's all wrapped up in a very intense emotional sort of thing. It depends on, you know, the nature of his, you know, how bad this thing is for him, how bad his attitudes are. At very least, a lot of women would have been perfectly sensible to cut and run and say, okay, I'm out of here. But it's even assuming that she felt it was safe and sane to give it a shot. At very least, there should have been some very intense, counseling going on there to try. And I'm sure there was another incident previous to this. It's just that this one was caught on camera.
And she, walking down the hall, she flung her arm back at him and hit him in the chin. And she was jawing at him all the way down the hallway and into the elevator. And I'm going to tell you that verbal abuse is often vastly worse than physical abuse. It's dehumanizing. It's emasculating. It cuts right to the core of who a person is. And there is a lot of verbal abuse that are being perpetrated by women against men. A lot of it.
Probably didn't help that they were both drunk as well, because you could see him swaying, and Ray Rice is rocking back and forth, and I mean,
it altered, diminished his ability to exercise good judgment. And by the way, verbal abuse does not justify physical abuse. Both are wrong. They're independent wrongs, but both are wrong. Here's my issue on all of this. That first of all, while she is complaining that it's wrong that America be allowed to see the video of what took place in that elevator, that is the most correct thing in this whole episode. In this whole sorry episode, the most correct thing is America being able to see the video and America's unified response of being appalled by what they see. It is why I constantly beg people, beg them, to watch the videos and pictures of Islamic crucifixions, of Islamic beheadings, of Islamic stonings, of Islamic whippings, and that they listen to the testimony of little girls who are physically and sexually abused by Muslim men. It is absolutely essential that we confront it.
This is worth a thousand words.
And when you hear it, when you see it, when you become a witness to inhumane behavior, it has a profound impact on most people. Now, there are some of us who will take the time to think something through and will realize evil, will recognize evil when they experience it, and will justifiably and morally expose it and condemn it. But the vast majority of people aren't that way anymore. We're motivated, we're moved by images such as what was witnessed in the elevator. That elevator picture had no influence whatsoever on me. It had a profound influence on most Americans. The same thing would be true if the news media nationally showed pictures of Islamic beheadings, of Islamic crucifixions, of Islamic stonings of women who were victimized by rape and are now being murdered by the rapist, would have a profound effect, forcing people to confront something that they don't want to acknowledge. Now, here's some numbers that I want people to think about. There are 250 million women who have been sexually abused, mutilated by their mothers. 250 million, over 90% of whom are Muslims. If you divide that by, say, 50 years, it means there are 100,000 genital mutilated girls every week. Every week, 100,000 Muslim women are mutilating the genitals of their daughters, 100,000 every week, 5 million a year. Where is the outrage against that religion? 90% of Muslim women in Muslim-majority countries have been physically and or sexually abused multiple times in their lives. There are 800 million women in Muslim-majority countries. Are 800 million Muslims living in Muslim-majority countries, half of whom are women. 90% who have been sexually abused. That is 360 million. Divide that by 50 years over the time that can occur. It's 150,000 a week. It's 7 million a year. And in this case, not only are the women sexually abused at numbers that stagger the imagination, but it's the religion itself that condones it. It's the religion itself that encourages it. The religion exists because Muhammad granted men, Muslim men, complete and total authority over women. In his farewell sermon, he talked about how they could abuse them and beat them and starve them and kill them, and that they existed as domesticated animals for the pleasure of men. Every time Muhammad raided a community, he picked the prettiest girl to rape and allowed his men to throw lots to choose the victims that they would rape. The Quran itself condones rape. Yes, in America, we have a problem with domestic violence. It is a horrible problem. And America was forced to face it and was outraged by it. And this is good. But where is the outrage against a religion that inspires, that condones sexual mutilation and domestic violence at the rates of hundreds of millions? Where's our outrage? Are we completely hypocritical that we will tolerate Islam in our midst and yet speak out against this lone football player? What's wrong with us? We learned today from the Dutch investigation that was on site, but via the pictures that were taken of the Malaysian airliner flight MH17 that broke up in midair over eastern Ukraine, over Luhansk, that it was hit by multiple objects that pierced the plane at high velocity. They showed in this article an example of a photographed panel of the aircraft. It was the external shell, and in that external shell, which looked like a section of about 4 feet by 3 feet, there were perhaps 50 large exit holes, some jagged, most round, which means that for that to be an exit hole, then the other side of the aircraft would have had to have been pierced by the object, in most cases a round object, that would have pushed the skin, the aluminum skin of the aircraft, which is, I think, about an average of a quarter, maybe 3/8 of an inch thick. Through on one side, inward, and then on this side of the skin, outward. And there were, you know, this was on average of, if you took a foot section, a foot by a foot, there'd probably be 10 to 15 of these holes. And they said it was essentially a myriad of puncture wounds. Now, I'm not sure how a beach missile is designed to work. I don't know if it is a heat-seeking missile or if it is a radar-following missile. And I don't know if it explodes on contact or explodes in proximity. And I don't know what is in the payload. But visually, if you're going to use the visual information that's available to us, then it looks like these were holes made by a 50 caliber anti-aircraft gun. This is what it looks like. Now, I am a pilot. I jet rated. Have the same ratings as the guys that flew in the cockpit on that aircraft. But I am not a ballistics expert. But that's certainly what the images look like. Now, I don't know what happened. I don't think anybody knows what happened. But I can tell you this, that the Malaysian flight was one of three that flew through that airspace within minutes of this flight being downed. And the blame, in my view, rests with those who would fly an aircraft at 30,000 feet above a known war zone where the belligerents in that war zone have in the previous 2 weeks downed at least a dozen, if not a score, of aircraft. So this is not just a war zone that they're flying over, but a war zone that has that is known for the factions bringing down large aircraft. And so the decision made by the international FAA to fly commercial aircraft right over Luhansk, Donetsk, is where the blame lies here. That was an accident waiting to happen. And no one knows who at this point, who. I'm sure there are some people, but the few that know are few. It's very few. Know what happened, and the high likelihood is that it was mistaken identity. But it wasn't a mistaken identity to sanction flights over that route. That was stupid. We have talked about the disease of Ebola, and I have tried to compare Ebola to Islam, just as I've compared the consequence of Islam's abuse of women to the domestic violence attack that we witnessed in the video yesterday. Well, Ebola is continuing to spread. It is spreading now exponentially in Liberia, with thousands of new cases, and that the number of people who are dying is also accelerating exponentially. The World Health Organization is telling us that this disease is now way out of hand, uncontrollable, deadly, appeared unstoppable.